Welcome to the second segment of the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schofer. I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman of Vocalo.org, 89.5 FM.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it.
Our guest for this segment is Linda Figg of Figg Bridge Engineers, headquartered in Tallahassee, Florida, whose company designed the new I-35W bridge in Minneapolis.
The I-35W Mississippi River Bridge was a steel truss bridge that carried Interstate 35 over the Mississippi in Minneapolis. It was completed in 1967, and it failed on August 1, 2007, killing 13 people and injuring 145. The new I-35W bridge, designed by Figg Bridge Engineers, opened on 18 September 2008. Linda, thanks very much for joining us today. We'd like to learn a little bit about the experience you had in the design of the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis. I understand your company designed that new bridge, and I'd like you to give us a sense of what that design is like and what's new and different about it.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today and to have an opportunity to share about the new I-35W bridge. It's a modern concrete bridge for the future. It incorporated the community in the design right at the start to reflect a thematic approach and the aesthetic character of the structure. But the most important thing is that it is a very safe, redundant structural system that can set an example for the future of rebuilding our infrastructure.
When you say a redundant system, what does that mean?
Well, there are multiple components of the bridge that can carry the same load. And so you have many parts doing the same thing. It's not fracture critical. There's no component that if you lost it, you would lose the bridge by any stretch of the imagination. It has several load paths that carry the bridge loads down to the foundation. So we have four box girders, which compose of the superstructure, the area that the cars drive over, and each of those box girders are carried by individual piers. It also has 323 sensors that are installed throughout the bridge that are both used for daily operations of the structure, such as during the winter, triggering de-icing chemicals when the temperature of the deck gets to a certain temperature for ice, to long-term evaluation and data to help us refine and improve designs of bridges in the years ahead.
So the material, this is a concrete bridge?
It's a concrete bridge.
Post-tension concrete,
yes,
I think?
Yes, high-performance, high-strength concrete, utilizes post-tensioning in two directions, giving the concrete that extra strength.
What's post-tensioning?
Post-tensioning is when you you put steel strands encased in a duct that runs through the inside of the concrete, and then you stress on it very tightly from both ends, which allows the concrete to go into compression, which gives the concrete that extra strength and durability that provides for a long life.
When I've done concrete or seen concrete done, that people build forms and then they pour it in if you're doing concrete for a house, is that done in some way when you do a bridge?
Yes, it is. We had forms or very large molds, and in that mold we would put reinforcing steel, and those were all different sizes of steel bars. It's sort of like the skeleton of your body. These are the bones to the mold. And then we pour the concrete into the mold and over the skeleton of steel. And we put the post-tensioning in, and then that is stressed at different times based on the assembly of the bridge. And those molds, though, those segments, can weigh as much as 200 tons apiece as they're put into the structure.
Now those segments were made, as I understand it, on the ground but at the site and then lifted into place?
Yes, they were on the old section of the I-35W roadway that was not being used. We set up a precasting farm, And that's where all of the 120 precast segments that make up the main span that crosses over the Mississippi River were all fabricated. And that was done mostly through winter months, and so we had a buildings that were on rollers that would roll over the top of the forms and provide heat inside so that we could keep the temperature of the concrete at the at a level of around 65 degrees, providing for the best curing temperature and getting the kind of quality that we wanted.
Why did you work through the winter instead of waiting for favorable temperatures?
Well, you know, when the bridge went down on August 1st of 2007, it was a very vital link in the corridor. There was traditionally 140-something thousand cars a day that went across this interstate. And we were rebuilding a 10-lane interstate for this important link. And basically, the statistics showed that with the bridge out, it represented anywhere from $400,000 to $1 million a day in lost economy. So getting the bridge built back in place quickly was very important. So the mission was to design and build it in a 15-month period of time and have it open by the end of 2008. Through the tremendous workforce there in Minnesota, the great workers and the team effort between Minnesota DOT, Federal Highway Administration, the design team, and the contractor, it was actually able to be done in 11 months, designed and built in 339 days, open on September 18th of 2008.
So what were the, can you tell us something about the specific tricks or actions that team took to accelerate the construction?
Well, there were several things. One is, for instance, in building the piers themselves, each pier had its own formwork. So we didn't reuse any forms. All the piers went up at the same time, and there were as many as 600 workers there doing the construction at its peak. At an average, there was 400. There were generally two shifts a day, utilizing both precast and cast-in-place components of the project, we were able to sort of multitask many parts of the bridge at the same time. So while spans were being built over land using cast-in-place concrete or being placed on formwork that was at the site of the bridge, we were precasting the main span, you know, just on the roadway farm area that we just talked about. And then those segments were then trucked down to the riverfront, put in a staging area, and then barge to construct the main span. So we're building multiple parts of the bridge at the same time, and that allowed for a greater speed of delivery.
When you say there were 400 on average and at times as many as 600 people working on it,
yes.
Who was running all those people?
Well, there were the contractor had a number of different superintendents that were there. You know, this was a very talented workforce, and it really demonstrated the ability that we have in our workforce in America to get things built.
So, Linda, out of the days of construction, 300-some-odd days, how many of those days were you out in Minnesota on the site watching things happen?
Well, I was almost full-time there for 4 months from the time we started through the main winter as we were getting through all of the design activities. And then periodically, generally about once a week at least, through to the end of construction.
Would you fly over in a helicopter?
No, I didn't fly. I got there as quick as I could and drove to the site. Was mainly the way it worked. You know, this was a roll up your sleeves and all work together kind of program. It was a tremendous team effort.
Was this a design build contract?
Yes, it was.
So could you give us a brief explanation of what design build really means?
Well, design build means that design and construction are all framed within the same contract to the owner, which in this case is the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And so we were designing ahead of when it would go to construction. So we would do the design, it would get a special quality control check, and then through the different checks and processes, it would finally, a set of drawings would be stamped with release for construction. And once the drawing was stamped with that release for construction, it meant that we could go out and start building it. And so you would start first with the foundations and the drilled shafts that went 90 to 100 feet into the ground, and they were socketed 20 feet into rock. And those had to be tested first to make sure that we had the kind of strength we were looking for a good solid foundation. And then it would go to the piers and the superstructure. So we were designing out in front of the construction. But it had to dovetail so that the whole schedule could work together effectively.
So if I understand what you just described, the design was not completed before construction started, but it was a kind of parallel effort where construction lagged, but not by much, behind the design.
Exactly. It was in concert. It was like, having a symphony orchestra, and each component played its part until all the music came together, in perfect harmony. And that's what happens at a design build construction site. But
that's
the design has to be finished
well.
Of that component before they can start building it.
When you were describing the things that were socketed into rock 20 feet,
yes.
Were some of those at the bottom of the Mississippi River?
Well, we decided to not put any piers in the river. So the main piers were on land on each shore of across the Mississippi River. So we actually spanned the entire river. So all of the foundations were on land.
How wide is the span that you were spanning?
504 feet from pier to pier across the river from shore to shore. That composes of 120 precast segments. And those were all assembled to make that main span in just 47 days.
Is this, for your company, relatively a large project?
Well, we do a number of large projects around the country, but certainly this one was very unique in that, all eyes of the world were watching.
Why is that
project.
So? Why were the eyes of the world on it?
With the collapse that occurred on August the 1st, there was a lot of attention to what this meant in terms of the infrastructure going forward.
One of the interesting characteristics of this bridge, and I believe your company, is that the bridge is beautiful, and I think you make your position in the market is bridges that are architecturally appealing. Is that a fair description of the direction that your company is going?
Well, I much appreciate your kind words. We do have a philosophy that's about creating bridges as art, and believe strongly that you can have a bridge that's economical and functional and also beautiful.
Are there things that you did on this bridge that you think will become features of the bridges of the future?
Well, the thing about this bridge is it does tell a story of its time. And each new modern bridge should really do that, tell the story of the time in which it's being accomplished. And this one has features that were born out of community selection that will tell its story of its time, both technically as well as aesthetically, for its place on the Mississippi River. There are a lot of bridges along the Mississippi in this area that have arching forms. And so the chosen pier shape has reflective arches in its curved forms. And that transitions from 26 feet deep wide at the base of the pier, rising 70 feet tall, but curving inward towards the middle and then outward towards the top, again gaining up to 32 feet wide at the top, creating these reflective curves. And with a parabolic arch of the superstructure, we have a modern arching shape that that shows the distance that a concrete box girder will make across the river.
On the team that you brought to this project, do you were there architects as well as engineers?
We had people who were involved in the landscape architecture, but for the bridge itself, that was handled by the FIG team, and we're composed of structural engineers and people with a creative spirit.
How did you learn all that you need to know in order to run a project like this?
Well, we've as a firm have accomplished a number of emergency replacements and worked in concert and design builds. And through that past experience, I believe it helped create the framework to put us in a position to be ready to answer the call on this particular project, because it was very unique in what was needed to be accomplished in a very short period of time.
How did it feel to stand there and see all of those moving parts and see this creation that you were part of designing coming into being?
It was invigorating. It was just very, it was a heartfelt experience that I think everyone on our team felt like we started out as people who didn't know each other as well and ended as a family, a group of people who will never forget this experience.
So in that sense, was this project different than other projects that you've done?
In the amount of passion and persistence and dedication that every single person felt, this is what made it very special.
Were people working long hours?
This was 24/7. It was very long hours, lots of very cold weather. There were many days that it was sub-zero and, you know, up to minus 40 wind chill. And there was a true dedication to seeing, you know, the American ingenuity of being able to rebuild this infrastructure.
So you, when you say 24/7, you had separate crews working, some working through the middle of the night in the dark.
Yes, there was, you know, it was whatever it took, whenever it was needed to get ready for the next day. There were special light balloons that were there on site that would help to create places on the at the site that were as close to daylight as possible, even though it was the middle of the night. So it was whatever it took to get the job done.
Can I go back and ask you about the sensors that you described, 323 sensors on this bridge? What kinds of phenomena are you measuring?
Well, there were sensors to be able to identify different elements of the structure. We have sensors that are based in the drilled shafts that help to identify long-term stresses that occur in foundations. There are sensors that are placed in different parts of the bridge that have different things that we're looking for. For instance, we have sensors in the deck that are embedded at different levels that allow us to identify any permeability into the concrete wearing surface, so we know at what point in time a new wearing surface is needed. And there are those sensors that tell the temperature of the deck so that when it's needed, it would trigger a anti-icing system or chemical that could get sprayed on the deck automatically to prevent ice from forming during those really rugged winter months.
This may be a silly question, but I wonder if you know the answer. Do you know who the first person who drove across it was when it was done?
No, I don't. I just know that it occurred at 5 o'clock in the morning. There was stories that I heard of people lining up in the street like midnight the night before. There was a great sense of joy and pride at that wee hour in the morning as the first cars went across. And it was solid traffic on both sides for what I heard was up to about 10 minutes. And American flags going through sun roofs and lots of horns honking and high fives and, you know, just a great sense of community pride. And that's what made it all worth it for the whole team that worked on it.
So I have one last question for you. This is an amazing achievement to build such an interesting bridge in an important location and so rapidly. Do you see lessons that we should all learn for future infrastructure construction and reconstruction?
Well, it really demonstrates what is possible to be done when a team sets out to work as a cohesive vision and approach together. And certainly, Minnesota Department of Transportation set the leadership for that. Federal Highway Administration was there as part of the team. The contractor, Flatiron Manson, all the designers that were with the FIG team, everybody was working together as a seamless unit. And when that comes together like that, we can achieve, on any infrastructure in America, a very speedy schedule and one that really emphasizes safety and quality. And on top of that, be able to introduce some innovation. And that that team approach is a good lesson that we can take with us on future projects together.
Well, your team has certainly achieved that on this special project. And we appreciate your talking with us. We thank you for your time. And we hope maybe someday in the near future we'll talk to you about another exciting bridge project.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.